Is. It is time. Morning, Jorge Medina. Hey,
good morning.
What's going on in the morning brew today?
Oh man, we got an array of topics today, including the major topic for later on today, which is if you're an indie and there was no crowdfunding around, what would happen to us, right?
Oh, Let's talk about it. Would you have a lifeline? Let's go. Better way to start the day than winning a cup of Joe. An episode of Catch the Craze. Good morning, Krista.
Robert. Buenos dias. There she goes. What up, Crystal? Yo, it's been a minute.
I didn't even know Buenos dias. It's no, just
she just starts with the hostility. It's 9 o'clock in the morning where she's at, and it's already just hostile.
I came through the door. I said it before. I never let the mic magnetize me no more.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew.
Yes,
too many shows. We have a nice show prepared for you guys today. We're gonna be talking
about nice.
A lot
very,
of cool stuff.
Very nice.
You know, we want you all to join in the chat. Give us your opinions about the stuff we're gonna be talking about. And if you're in the chat and you haven't done so yet, if you're watching and you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the channel.
Word.
Give us a like, comment below, hit the bell, all that fun stuff. We're trying to grow the channel, you know, the road to 1,000. It's been stalled a little bit, you know, the car broke down on the road and we haven't been able to move it too much. George, finally already, old man syndrome, elbow cuff. Oh, there she goes. But yes, please subscribe to the channel. We have a lot of fun here on the channel. You know, we're catching craze. Yes.
Walking down the street.
This show. You know, the Crazy 10 or Less.
What's up, Dan Price?
Dan, we got big announcement for Dan coming up in just a few minutes. But yeah, Sammy, so here we are, man. Another morning brew. You know, we're going to be talking about some stuff. Yo, what up, Paul?
House.
Oh, man, everybody's in the house. Good morning, everyone.
Everybody.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hey now, see, that's all it takes for Sam to wake up. When we got the pre-production meeting just about 30 minutes ago, Sam was like, what up, man?
Yo, it's Betty.
Now, he's live. I love it. See,
I know. What's up? Look at this. What's up, JS?
Yo, what up, Jay? What's going on? Mr. Zalazar, Sam's going to need some friends out there in Houston. I mean, out there in Dallas. I mean, Texas, whatever the hell. He is. He's going to need some friends. So, you know, reach out to him.
You see that?
I'm telling you. You got to record the stylings, the vocal stylings of Sam Bovera on Catch the Craze.
Mom just had a radio in her belly when she was birthing me. I don't know. It's crazy. You know, when you're in the womb, I think my mom just had a radio next to her belly because every time I hear something, I think of a song.
Yeah, Crystal says that. They do have fun. Just don't ask George to draw something for you. Oh, Chris.
Yes, I know.
Listen, Chris.
Did you see the cover that he did for Wonder Duck? I'm just saying. George pulled out the pencil, Krista.
There is no cover, Chris. I don't know what he's talking about. Stop the lie. Stop the lie. Speaking of some of the projects we have going on, I just want to give a big shout out to Dan Price, who reached out to me the other day. He does his Instagram lives all the time. And he said, yo, George, you want to come on? on Wednesday, May 4th at 10 p.m., which is 9 p.m.
your time. Which is past his curfew. Wow.
It is past my curfew, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do. So I will be Instagram live. Yeah, I'll be Instagram living with Dan Price, with R. Robert Garcia, who's got Retribution, DK Comics, who's also out there. You know, we all have a campaign. We're going to go on there, talk shop. So 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central. Make sure you check us out. If you don't follow us already, go to our Instagram pages, follow Dan Price, and do all that fun stuff. Meanwhile, he was supposed to help me. I am helping you, Chris. I'm helping you by not drawing your book. You don't want my art on your book. We'll talk offline. That was just a quick announcement I wanted to make. But Sammy, you got a bunch of announcements, bro. Let us know what you got going on.
But first, I figured out what that bug was.
Oh, shoot.
Last night, my boy came over last night.
Wait, hold on. Before you tell us that, just for the people in the room who maybe don't know what the hell you're talking about, what bug are you talking about?
Yo, Texas is out of control. And if you heard me, you know, the bugs in Texas are on a whole different level, right? So, you know, when we first moved in, we had arachnophobia. We had, the spiders were everywhere. And these were like big, bulky, Herculoid spiders. And they're nothing like New Jersey spiders, right? So, you know, then we have, geckos. And then we have the mosquitoes. And then we have these things that look like mosquitoes, but they're not mosquitoes. But they're just some big pterodactyl-looking things that fly. And, these things, you know, the past few weeks, I walk in the yard at night, and next you know, I'm being hit, pop, pop, pop. And then I look on the floor, and there's these red-looking flying beetles that are just kamikazing, dive-bombing, hitting me, then hitting the floor and dying. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I'm trying to figure it out. No one knew. I looked it up. They're June bugs.
Oh, June bugs, of course.
June bugs. And they just go and they just dive-bomb to die? I don't understand it. What kind of life is that? You got giant roaches. Man. You got a lot of stuff.
Oh, God.
It's crazy. Yes. Stop. Need to share and say hello. What's up, Nita?
What's
in the house?
Up, Nita?
Yes. It's crazy. So I was standing in the driveway with my buddy. We were talking because he's moving into a house. And so I saved the boxes for when I moved here. And I had it in the shed. So I was giving him the boxes. And we're standing there and we're getting hit. Pa! And which I'm like, yo, what is this? And he's saying they were light bugs. I said, no, they're not. They don't light up. And he's like, I said, I know what, you know, what did he call them? I forgot what they called those light bugs. But I said, they're not that. So we're standing in the driveway at night Googling and we found it. June bugs.
June bug. Damn.
He said, they're the most dumbest bugs in Texas. We get them bad enough. Yeah. They said they start from May and they start coming out and we're by a lake. And these suckers, man, they just come out of nowhere and they just dive bomb. They hit you and they knock themselves out. And next you know, they're on the floor upside down.
Oh my God.
Stop June worrying. Bugs. You know, it's Musk and the bugs will leave you a little vanilla Musk. It's Old Spice. Oh, no, remember Stetson? Oh, vanilla man.
Musk. Oh, God.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
Back to what you said. Yes, there's the month of May is a big month for me. You know, taking on the biggest.
Wait, hold on before you go into that, Sammy. I just wanted, giant roaches, bro. Have you gotten those yet in Texas? I see Jay posted they have some giant roaches.
No, I haven't seen any roaches. I think I don't know if the roaches were naked.
The water bugs.
The reason why I don't think the roaches would make it on my property is because when I first moved in, I was probably like 2 weeks in. I'm sitting in the kitchen. And I have my brother-in-law, we're sitting down and I look up and I see hanging from the ceiling upside down is a gecko on a spider's web that was eaten by a spider. So there's these spiders that are able to get the gecko onto their web and have it hanging. That gecko is about 3 inches long. And I'm like, and the roaches won't have a prayer with these spiders because these spiders are on a whole different level. And they make the webs. Number one, the webs are so beautiful. But I don't know how they get it across 4 feet. You can see the webs flying in the air and they go on a tree to the shed, which is about, you know, 4 feet apart. And then next thing you know, I ran into one like an idiot because I was running for my dogs. And next thing you know, face in, and I'm like,
you'd totally get eaten by a freaking spider, bro. If you were a gecko, you'd totally be getting eaten by a spider. Jesus Christ. But
my dogs go after the geckos and I try to stop them. I say, yo, come on, man. They're just living. Leave them alone.
Oh, shoot. But, and yo, D, I'm looking forward to it too, man, on May 4th. But go ahead, Sammy. I'm sorry. So you were saying, what you got? What you got going on?
Yeah. So some of you know, some of you don't know. I will be heading over to the biggest show in the world, to Licensing Expo, May 24th through the 26th. I have a booth, D104. So I've been working tirelessly the past few weeks on getting ready, designing the booth, getting all of the marketing material, the pitch material, everything, prototypes for this event. So this is, I'm going out there and trying to make some connections, and we'll see what happens. So I'm getting ready for that big event. And then when I get back, we'll be launching book two of There's an Alien in My Toilet. So if you haven't signed up, please sign up. And for those of you who backed issue number one physically and are coming back for issue number two, as a thank you, you will be getting this refrigerated magnet of Super Duty with the diabolical egomaniac overlord nemesis Poopoo. For your refrigerator as a free gift for me to use, saying thank you. And if you are a digital backer of issue one and you come back for issue number two, you're going to get a screensaver for your phone or your desktop, a wallpaper. And if you didn't back issue number one, but you back Wonder Duck, and you back Disney in My Toilet, the second campaign, you'll still get that refrigerated magnet for free from me. So there's an incentive for everybody to come and play. This one's even funnier than the last one, just saying. And I just want to show you a little turnaround of one of the figures that's in development. And here's a 3D rendering. There's the turnaround of Samurai Duty. And that I'll have on display at the expo as well. So there's that turnaround of Samurai Duty. It looks phenomenal.
Yeah, looks good, bro. That just looks fuego.
And then next week is a party. Next week, we're throwing a party with Ducks.
Fiesta, yes. Bro. It's going to be a quick party. The Adventures of Wonder Duck launches on May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. So next Wednesday, I am launching the campaign. It will go live at 8:30, but we will be on the show at 8 o'clock just to get things going. If you signed up for the page, for the pre-launch page, I will be, raffling off some t-shirts. We're going to be having some fun. I'm going to be putting some names on the spinner, spinning that bad boy, and giving some stuff away. So you want to make sure that you sign up to the pre-launch page. Let me know you signed up so I can put your name on the spinner. I will also be, I will also be sending you guys, obviously, PDFs of a print that I have, an 8x10 print, as you guys already know, if you've been watching the show, that I will be sending out to everyone who signs up for the pre-launch page. If you pledge, then I will be sending you a printed copy of the 8x10. So that's going down next week. So make sure that you subscribe to the channel so that you know when the show goes live. We are going to be live at 8 p.m. on Wednesday. So that's going to be a party, man. It's going to be a good time. Yes. I'm excited. Yes. I'm excited about it, dog.
Girl, I don't understand it. Why you wanna hurt me? Dum, 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 dum. My girl wants to party all the time.
I remember. You like that song? You sang that song a few times, and we all know the show ends. Listen, yes. It does end at 9. It does maybe 9:30, because at 10 o'clock, like I said, I'm staying up late, Chris. I'm staying up late that night. So join us over on Instagram Live. I know you don't be on Instagram too much, but join us. I will be up late that night.
What's up, Martino?
Michael, ¿qué pasó? Mike San Martino. Hey, listen, Spinner's coming out May 4th. Mike, I expect you there, please. So make sure you show up.
Yeah, I know that, Spinner.
But yeah, Sam, so we got a few things to discuss today with everybody in the chat, and we'd love to get your feedback on some of the things we're going to be talking about. Sam's going to open up the show with a little bit of nostalgia.
Old
stuff.
Some old school stuff. In fact, I'm not gonna play the sound because I don't know if it's a copyright and whatever. But I'm gonna share this. You should know by the screen what it is. Boom. Let's see. Oh no.
Oh, look at that share. That's nice.
So I don't know if you guys remember in the 80s, this thing was the hottest thing. I used to look forward to this cartoon. Right, and we talked about it last week. And say, what if they did a live action movie for this? Look at that. And the animation still holds strong. Look at the details in that stuff, man.
That's that off the hook manga, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Anime, I should say.
Yeah, so Robotech was the bomb back in the days, and so I'm excited to share Look at that. I mean, I love that stuff. But yeah,
you will be writing the comic book for the next issue.
I wish. I know, right? If there's something I'm going to write, it's going to be Elf. Hawkeye director will helm live action Robotech movie. So we put it out last week, and it's, you know, so then right after we were talking about it on the show, this article came out. And so I'm excited about that. So it looks like Sony Pictures has found a new director to captain its Robotech live action film. Deadline is reporting that Rhys Thomas has signed on to direct the film, fresh off his stint as director of Marvel Hawkeye series. So that is dope. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you guys. You know, what do you think? When you have to bring back properties from the 80s, I mean, we talked about Voltron. We talked about Robotech. This is just a great, great, great day for the nostalgic crew.
Yeah. No, that's cool, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that. Hopefully, you know, I don't know if it's going to stay true to the cartoon or whatever, but I mean, they can do a lot of cool things with live action now with CGI and stuff like that. Obviously, the ships are probably going to be CGI and things like that.
I mean, what they did with Transformers was off the chain.
Yeah. So it was off the chain. It really was. I remember seeing it. Some of those things, though, got a little too dark and you couldn't really see what was going on. They fixed it as the movies went along. So by now, I think that they're probably going to be able to do that a lot better. And hopefully they do, man, because that was a cool-ass cartoon. What? Actually, I'm more concerned with that 1 gigabyte internet for $49.99. What is this a from 1 gigabyte. What I said before? 1 gig?
Please explain, because Jordan will say it. Shed some light on that. Yeah, please elaborate. But that's
that make you go, I was like, it should be cool, man. I did enjoy. I mean, I didn't watch much of the cartoon because I think I was still a little too young for it back then.
Look at the ad.
But what?
Oh, 1 gig of internet for $49.99 a month. Yeah, sudden link from Optimum. Yeah, you're crazy. Yeah, nice. I get it. Now I saw what you say. I'm ashamed to admit I've never heard of Robotech. Oh, no bueno.
Because it's an older cartoon, man. It's from the 80s. So
yeah. I mean, if you weren't around that time, Robotech. You had Transformers, you had Voltron, you had G-Force.
When in the 80s was Robotech though? Was that closer to like the late 70s, early 80s?
That trailer, it said 1985 opening for Robotech. When I looked it up, yeah, it says Robotech intro 1985. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I loved. I mean, I still have a couple of the Robotech figures in boxes.
Yeah. I what we really need is a live action Ninja Scroll. Damn, Ninja Scroll. I remember that. Jeez. Yeah. You know, I'd love to see a live-action Voltron, too. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see
a G-Force, man. Battle of the Planets.
Yeah. I think we're ready for
it. I wonder how they would pull that off.
That is true. That would be tough. But that's interesting. Maybe there for people who could afford cable in the 80s.
No, it was on regular TV. It was on Channel 11.
Was it?
Yeah, it was on Channel 11. Because 11 was the shiznits. Because 11 had some of the really cool stuff.
Bro, in 1985, I was still in ESL. So I really didn't get
it. ESL? What's that?
English as a second language.
Oh,
yeah, I was still learning.
You guys, you can't throw acronyms with me, bro. You can't. It's like you gotta just.
ESL is one of the oldest.
You go to a supermarket and there's a young in there, and they're like XYZ, LMNOP, LOL. I'm like, yo, what are you saying? I was like, yo, come on, spell it out.
You're an old head, son. You're an old head. Speaking of old heads.
Uh-huh.
Frank Frazetta is a name that a lot of artists should remember or should know. And if you're an artist, Frank Frazetta was probably, you know, it's probably one of those that you know, just G-Force, the memories, G-Force. Yes.
Yes.
Was probably one of those names that inspired you to draw and create, especially if you like fantasy, right?
Yeah.
Because his artwork was just off the chain. And for those who don't know, obviously Frank Frazetta had one of his most famous pieces is The Death Dealer. And The Death Dealer, it is now becoming a comic book. It's going to be put out by Opus Comics, which is a company that was started by Frank Frazetta's daughter and his granddaughter. And it's going to be, what they're trying to do is they're trying to, you know, create a multiverse based on Frank Frazetta's work. So they're building towards that. And the first book coming out is Frank Frazetta's Death Dealer number one, which is going to be drawn by Mitch Iverson from who drew Voltron, Legendary Defender. Artist also Stephanie Martino, Stranger Things, Doctor Who. And the colorist for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, Luis Antonio Delgado. They're going to be working on the book. And it's going to be coming out May 11th from Opus Comics.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Sam? Would you be, is that a book you'd pick up? Death Dealer number one? You know, I do live for Inglés sin Barreras. Yes, Sam probably don't know about Inglés sin Barreras. But
was it a pop band?
What's that stone thing that teaches you different languages? What is the name of that?
Oh, Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone. It was the Rosetta Stone of like the 80s. Inglés sin Barreras for the Spanish folk, for the Latinos coming to the US back in the days. But anyway, so what do you think about the Death Dealer, man?
I think it's fantastic. I mean, I remember when you brought up the this morning, I remember our trip to the museum. You know, that was a memorable, iconic experience. You know, Arroyo's, you know, he set the tone for the whole trip. I remember sitting down on the floor having a conversation with his wife about their history together as a couple. Things that she did, the GoBots. Yes, I remember that too. Yes. And would have loved to see Liam Sharp on that book. They did that deal a book years ago with Simon Beasley. Nice, yes.
Yeah, back in the, how long? That was a while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in the 90s, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I think in 95, I want to say. Sometime around there.
Captain Caveman! Bunga bunga.
they also did it in 07. Image Comics published a 6-issue Death Dealer Shadows of Maraham miniseries with Joshua Ortega, Jay Photos, and Matt Jones.
Wow, Frank Frazetta's Death Dealer reached nearly 50,000 copies in sales. Wow.
Already.
Yeah, in celebration, the publisher released 16 exclusive. Wow, this is crazy. That piece right there is fire.
They're going to have 60, yeah, that's what I was looking at, 16 variant, breathtaking retail variants. I think if you scroll down, they're going to have some of them down below. That was the article that I was
looking at. Oh, look at that. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Amazing. What? Amazing stuff.
Oh, man.
That's some cool, cool stuff, bro.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. 73. That's when he painted that.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was inspired by the Headless Horseman when he did that.
Mm.
You know, it's got that Headless Horseman vibe. I always thought so when I saw the Death Dealer.
Oh, X-Men. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
with all the ads that pop up. They just keep popping up, bro.
Yeah, it's is it Disney doing an X-Men based on the 80s X-Men cartoon?
Son.
I'm looking forward to that. I hope they use the same theme song. That was the jizzoint.
Oh, what? The X-Men? Yeah, Disney Plus, I think, is going to have that.
Yeah. I hope they really stay true to it. The Sentinels, mm-hmm. You know, the Wolverine voice in that cartoon was dope. It was, you know, that X-Men that always had like this feel to it that was, you know, I don't know, fantastic. There was nothing like it.
Yeah, no. But yeah, no, that's interesting, man. I can't wait to see it. I mean, I think I may be picking up that issue just to see what it's looking like. I like it. I like that it's coming from the Frazetta family. You know, they all started out their own company just to do this.
I want to get the sketch cover put Duty as Death Dealer.
Oh, wow. Nice. That'd be cool. Damn. I put them at 9:30 in the morning.
Where's that damn thing?
Excuse me, man. So sorry. So sorry, man.
TVMA, where's that? Hold on,
jeez. You already threw it up there? It's up there. I see it.
I know.
I see it. Yo, 50,000 book sale. That's interesting because that's going to be a theme for the rest of the morning, the numbers. And I say that because IDW.
Mm-hmm.
IDW, and we all know that they have Ronin, the last Ronin, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle book that was put out recently that has had many, many delays. The first book came out, then there was a delay. The second book came out. Now, when that second book came out, even though there was a delay, it sold or about 100, well, it printed about 130,000 copies. They printed 130,000 copies of that book. So obviously the delay didn't hurt it. Right. No one clicks off X-Men. But I was going to go off if Sam clicked off that ad, X-Men popped up out of nowhere. I was going to go off if Sam clicked off that ad. No one clicks off X-Men.
I didn't click off the ad. It's still running.
No. He said he was going to go off if you did.
Oh yeah, no. What happened was I was gonna click that ad off, and then I saw X-Men. I was like, "Oh hell no!"
Yeah, that's why. That's what they're talking about. Oh man, so yeah, 130,000 units, man. That's how much they were able to print or to order, even after a delay. Even after a delay, right? So yeah, they're back. The two of them are back. We haven't seen you guys together in a while, Mike and Crystal. Oh man.
It's like Lenny and Laverne.
Anyway, so yeah, so what I guess the point of that is that when you're a name or when you have such a big following like the Turtles do, I guess those delays don't hurt you as much as if you are people like us who don't have the following. Because if we delayed anything that long, dude, we're forgotten. You know what I mean?
Yes, like bye.
Bye-bye. But The Last Ronin's been delayed many times, and I still picked up number 5. You know what I mean? I went out there, it was there. I was like, oh, snap. Number 5 is out. They got me. And yo, bro, $8.99.
Yeah, I know. They jacked up the prices.
$8.99.
How many pages is that?
It's like 64, I think.
Well, then, yeah, then it makes sense.
Is it 64, though? I think I'm giving them too much credit. I mean, it's got a spine. But busy in the Zelda community. Yeah, you've been busy. You've been busy, Chris. Yeah. You neglected us. She's all about the Zelda. I like Zelda, but I ain't even have fun.
I mean, $8.99, you're getting it, you know, with a spine. You can put it on your bookshelf. It looked nice. It's got 60 pages. It's about almost nearly 3 stories in it. So I think it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah, and the art's legit too.
Yeah, the artwork inside is freaking off the hook, bro.
Yeah.
These pages are off the chain. But that's what I mean. Like they've been delayed, delays. And the fan base, that's the importance of having that fan base, because without it, you're dead in the water, man. Like if you show any kinds of delays, if you don't have that fan base, they're going to go by. And I was watching a couple of YouTubers that were upset about it.
One deduction. There you go.
Easy. And people will wait for quality material. That is true. And I think, you know what? You should join the tournament. But you know what? I think when I mean, you're the Turtles, right? It's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. People, there is a diehard fan base for it. They're going to pick up whatever. You know, you're going to have just a Turtle fan, you know, that they're just going to, whatever it is, a Turtle, they're going to get it. Then you're going to have the newbies. That's the way you have to be a little weary. It's still waiting for the Game of Thrones. The newbies are the ones you have to worry about, because you know they move on quickly to other things. They're the ones who want to binge watch. They're the ones who want everything now. So it's not your diehard fans. It's the ones that you're trying to attract now that you have to worry about. So if you're not consistently on time, they're going to get discouraged and move on and forget. They're going to find something else. So that's the only caveat, I would think.
Yeah. Just put yourself on a payment plan like George promises drawings, free stuff. Salty. Boy is right, bro. Wow. Oh, man.
Body blow. Uppercut.
Jeez, dude, I'm dizzy. I'm going down for the count in a few minutes. I'm like, she's bop, bop, bop. She's working the body, bro. She's working the body.
Yes.
But yeah. And to Jay's point, people will wait for quality, and it is quality. It's still quality stuff. Even if we had quality, right? Even if us indies had quality, if we took 6-7 months when we're promising a monthly book, I think even though it is quality, I mean your hardcore fan will come back, but that casual that's like, yo, I kind of like that book, they're gonna be like, I got other things to buy. I can go spend my money on other stuff. There's so many. If you open up Kickstarter right now, there are tons of other books that people can just go and buy.
It's almost like 50 a day.
Bro, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And they're all making money. So you got to be mindful of that as an indie, you know, to stay consistent.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, sometimes you worry about, hey man, am I putting out too many campaigns in a row? Will people keep coming back to support me if I keep putting out a campaign, say every month for my book? You know what I'm saying? And I think that kind of leads into the next topic that we were going to talk about. And you were talking about numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you take the floor on that one. Plus, he's scared to run a stream with me, Sam. I even had a legit topic for us to debate.
That's when he hides like a cat. Oh damn. Woo!
Sam, don't you have a Zelda stream or something or some tournament to go do right now, Chris? I think you might.
Oh man, we need to get couples therapy. So I was reading an article and it was about how many units does an independent self-published creator have to sell in order to stay afloat. And it's a matter of, there's a lot of variables you have to consider, but you know, what is the minimum that you would have to sell retail? You got to think about it. Retail takes what, 40% to 50, sometimes 60%, all depends on the retailer. And then you got to think about the printing costs. The retailer takes their cut. You know, how many, so if your printing costs minus the retailer and the shipping costs, if it's a distributor that's distributing your books, you know, and you're getting 75 cents on a book, how many of those books do you have to sell to get that money back that you lost? You know what I mean? And so, you know, they were talking about at minimum, they were just throwing random numbers because I guess they were all trying to figure it out. It was a big forum, a big chat, and they were going, they were started with 3,000 units to 7,000 units.
Yo, Mike is standing up for Chris. I like these two. He goes, "That's the Legend of Zelda to you, George." You tell him, Mike.
Wow.
Oh man. Oh, they're just jumping me now. They're kicking me with a Timberland boot.
It's a gang fight, bro. You know, it's that fight where, you know, where the girl goes over and mushes you, and then the boyfriend steps in. Yo, don't you even try to touch my woman. And then pat, pat.
Me up right now, bro. And you're talking numbers over here. You're just talking numbers. You're talking about numbers. What the hell, man?
It's like you're in the boardroom. I got a chart up on the board, and they're over there floating in the corner.
I'm outside. I went to get a cup of coffee, and they caught me outside, man.
Oh, where's my sip? Oh, well, hold on.
Holy cow. Anyway, go ahead, man. Continue.
Yeah. So they were throwing numbers on. I didn't do the math yet because I want to, you know, one guy says at least about 3,000 units. And I was like, that still sounds too low based on the cost factor. So I'm going to do the math and I'm going to break it down our next crazy 10 or less to really, you know, target what it is that you need to really sell to offset the cost of self-distributing and self-publishing yourself. If you're just a one-man operation or a two-man operation, what would that mean? So it got my head spinning to say, all right, let me figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, because the return on investment is not going to be in floppies.
Outside. Yo, she just made 52 million on OnlyFans.
That girl
just made $52 million.
Just from that, just from saying that.
What are we doing wrong, though? I'm sure she's doing other things on
OnlyFans page.
Maybe that's what you got to do, Sammy. Show some packs, man. Get an OnlyFans.
Wiggle.
Do a little wiggle. You know what I'm saying? How about that?
Oh man,
how about that?
Yo, they're going for your throat,
savages,
bro.
They're savages.
Yo, they're fighting dirty.
Yeah. poking me in my eye.
You gotta pull the warriors and lure them into the bathroom where your boys are hiding.
Yeah, I got no boys. You over there talking numbers. I got no boys. I lure them into the bathroom. I'm getting even more messed up. Are you kidding me? You throw me in the toilet.
Yeah. So the crazy 10 or less on Monday, I'm going to dive into this and really run the numbers and see what it is that you would have to minimum as an independent self-publishing and you're getting your stuff into stores, how many units you would have to sell in order to actually stay in the black or, you know, and keep running your operation. So that was an interesting topic.
Yeah, it is interesting. And when we talk about those numbers, come out and play. when we talk about those numbers, man, it sounds like a lot, even that 3,000 sounds like a lot of units to move. And And which again leads us to the next thing that we want to talk about, which is if crowdfunding wasn't around for indies, right?
Yeah, hold on.
Where would we be?
It's indie news. Bangers lucky.
Bangers. If you go in the toilet, George, you could cosplay as Duty and hook Sam up with free publicity.
Oh damn, that's just coming.
Yeah, you got
no, nobody's safe.
Nobody.
Cover your ears, Duty. Cover your ears.
Yeah. Oh snap. Ah, oh, they're good. They're good, yeah. These two.
These people are.
Anyways, yes.
Hold to the level.
So, if Kickstarter wasn't around, right, what would happen to the indies out there right now? Would we still be doing what we're doing? Would we, I mean, what would happen? You know, what do you think would happen if there was no Kickstarter or Go, you know, Indiegogo or whatever the hell, you know?
Let's see. So people are making 75 cents off their comics. How much is book retail? 5-10.
Yeah.
I'm talking about floppies.
No, but even floppies are $4.99. Floppies are $4.99. So even if it's a $5 book, 75 cents of a $5 book, that's chump change. But that's what we are doing. But the thing is, that breakdown of 75 cents, I think, is after the distributor has taken their cut and the retailer, right? So that's
after
what
the printing costs, distributor, retailer,
all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Which is why I guess those books have gone up so much, right? Before, I remember when comics were 75 cents. You know what I mean? I mean,
that's, I remember when they were 35 cents.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, when we started collecting way back in the days, now that's all you get. We'd have to go to Alterna Comics. Yeah, that's true. I mean, they're selling them for what? I don't know if they're still doing the newsprint. I'd have to check with Keith Gleason.
They still do their Indiegogo campaigns.
They do.
Yeah,
they
for do. All their books.
But see, even they're going. So that's what I'm saying. That's what we're talking about.
Right. So I think I think crowdfunding is the alternative to distribution. Right. And so what happens is George, I feel like Kickstarter existed. So I think what happens is, it's gotten more and more challenging. The criteria has gotten more challenging. Now, to get your books, you have to have monthlies or, you know, serials, or an ongoing series, and to get distributed. Right. So the alternative is crowdfunding. If crowdfunding wasn't there, the thousands and thousands of independent creators, would they have a chance? Because think about it. If there was no crowdfunding and we had the shutdown, what happened to all those independent creators? What would they have done? What would we have done?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the shutdown, you know, with no more events, and that the events is where you hope to build an audience, sell books, take all the money home. You know, you just got to make back what you paid for the table and all that other stuff, but you're not paying a middleman other than to be at the event. You take those out, no crowdfunding. I don't think there would be that many independent creators. There'll still be a submission process, and the publishers that are out there will be inundated with all these submissions, and then all of them get looked at.
Yeah, no, and remember what happened during the pandemic? Some of those weren't even making the stores. Some of them weren't even selling, you know, to the store. The store shut. A lot of stores were going out of business because of it, you know.
And in those cases,
in the hustle started. You'd have to go to comic book stores. Heck, even a lemonade stand to pimp your comic. That was back in the day. And that's what I was talking to you about, Sam. I think we would find a way to make it happen.
But that's more localized.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be to the level that it is. Obviously, you know, we see some Kickstarters making $20,000 on people that don't necessarily, that aren't known. They're making 20 G's, 10 G's, 11 G's. And that's just off of the hustle and whatever it is they figured out what to do online. Now, could that be done like in a different way with mailing lists?
But then that you talk about. See, there it is. So, see what crowdfunding does. Crowdfunding
5 cents when you first started reading.
Crowdfunding allows you to offset the cost, right? It allows you, the people buying the books, you're shipping it out, whatever. You don't have that now. You have to, let's say, you're doing grassroots. You're doing mailings, right? You know, that's going to cost you your self-distribute, but it's all localized. If there's no events and there's no crowdfunding, it's localized. So you got to go to your community. You're going to go to, you know, say you do a stint. You do a book fair, a street fair, right? And you get a table at a street fair. You still got to pay for that. All that stuff's localized. It won't be what crowdfunding does for the independent creator is allow people in Saskatchewan to know who you are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Across around the globe, if people are interested and they see your stuff on Kickstarter campaign, who've never even heard of you, don't even know you, they're not even from Nebraska, to get it. Without that, you're still localized.
You know, I think that, and that's what the crowdfunding platforms did. You were able to go global, right? That's the only, because think about it, right? Yeah, a lot of campaigns do make a lot of money, but a lot of campaigns still don't.
Right.
$2,000-$3,000, all you're doing with that, you're not making money off of that. All you're doing is just covering your cost of printing and your shipping, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? That's really all. And Crystal makes some good points. Your networking and then your contacts at the comic book store will expand your range. Back in the day, you had to establish yourself locally, and then word of mouth plays a huge part once you get that. And I also agree with Chris. I think to your point, Sam, is that yes, that allows you to begin the process of getting the word out.
Yeah.
But the global reach is what the crowdfunding campaigns have done for you.
Yeah.
You
know what I'm saying? Exactly. No. So a perfect example. Back in the days, in the Crazy Comics days, I did mailings every weekend, right? To all the press, the media, whatever. I did mailings every weekend. Packages. I went to the post office. Good thing the post office was just across the street from me. And every weekend, I had all these envelopes and I'm gonna go out of pocket and I'm giving away freebies, right? And I'm sending all this material and press kits, all that stuff, right? We went to the comic book stores and we negotiated with the comic book stores locally, right? And in New York, and we got our stuff in the stores. We did all those things. You know, we were on the radio, TV, all that stuff. It requires a lot of effort and time and cost, right? Where crowdfunding alleviates a lot of those things. Now, if you really want to hustle, use crowdfunding and do grassroots and combine the two to increase your chances of longevity. But yeah, I get it. But I'm saying with crowdfunding, you're offsetting the cost that's coming out of your pocket. Without that, you're going to. So how long can you do it independently when you're doing all of the funding and you don't have the crowdfunding to help alleviate that cost? That's the key question. What percentage of the independent community will do it? Because when we've had a lot, I could say we had over a dozen, maybe two dozen creators on our show since the pandemic that only started doing comics because of the shutdown and they had nothing to do and they always wanted to do a comic. So they went to crowdfunding, right? So what percentage of those people would not have existed?
I think, here's the thing. I think that without crowdfunding, right? And before I go into my point, establish rank level, then you can branch out by region. But the difference with Kickstarter is that you can establish yourself with faith there. So that credibility was based solely on grassroots. So I think that what happens when the shutdown happened and everybody's like, yo, I'm gonna do a comic. I'm gonna start a podcast. Like, these were things that people were trying to do to pass the time. Now, if there was no crowdfunding at the time, right? I think these people would still do it. Would we know about it? Probably not. Probably not, but that doesn't mean that they would stop doing it. I think they'd still do it, and they'd still struggle like we did back in the days, like we still do. What do you say? I agree with Michael's assessment of my assessment. I freaking love it.
He says, I disagree.
Whoa, they, clown.
Nobody's safe in the camp.
No, yo, hey, for real. You think they have a bond?
Everyone's getting thrown over. Everyone's getting thrown over.
Michael, I gotta say, Michael and Crystal are toxic. I'll just say
Michael that. Rode the border shore. Hallelujah.
You know, Jay's like, yo, I got your back, brother. Like, you ain't got my back.
You guys are psych.
He's like, yo, give me a hand. He's like, psych.
They said, yo, Mike, can you take this, you know, the rope and tie it to the dock, you know, because they're pulling the boat to the dock. He gets off the boat and they drive off.
It really is. Nobody's safe. But to Crystal's point, I mean, I think, and I say this to you all the time, networking is so important.
Huge.
Networking is so important.
Yes.
That reaching out to people. A perfect example, you know, started off the show by letting you guys know that Dan Price, you know, we're going to be on Instagram. And that all started with a conversation on Instagram about, hey, you guys want to do this? Then he got, you know, DK Comics and our Robert Garcia, who's been on the show with Retribution. His Kickstarter is live right now if you guys want to check that out. But it starts that way. That's how it starts. You know, back then people wanted security before their respective investments. So you needed a proven track record Kickstarter. You could take a risk and gamble on new projects.
Yeah.
And that is very key. Your kids. That is key, Chris.
Gamble.
It is a gamble. That's the key word. I think people get upset when they don't get their book sometimes. Oh, I've been waiting. You know, and listen, we all do. Where's my book? I've been waiting. Where's my book? It's a gamble. We took a gamble. We gave these people our money. And now we hope that we, you know, see some return on our investment.
Yeah, I think I'm still waiting for one from, like,
it's a gamble.
17 months ago. It's ridiculous.
It's a huge gamble.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, it's a fascinating topic because it makes you think, you know. And then again, for those, you know, I think the biggest thing, and to Chris's point, I think if you're using crowdfunding, still do grassroots, because at any moment, you know, there could be a massive web shutdown on the U.S. from a hack, right? And then what? Right.
Or they can be, you know, Kickstarter has been talking about going, you know, Meta. Going with Meta
currency.
Yeah, currency. If you ain't got that currency, how are you gonna, you know, pledge to these campaigns? And there goes that, you know. So I think you have to be, you know, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. You can't just be comfortable and say, okay, this is what we're gonna do for the rest of the time. You know, it's like, no, do that and then plan ahead and see, okay, what else am I gonna do? You know, big example, Licensing Expo, right? That's another gamble that you're taking, but that's, hey, listen, I can't just do Kickstarters. I got to go do this. I got to go do that.
You know? You know, and that's individualized, right? So, you know, for me, I had to self-reflect and say, you know what, you know, for me, I don't see Kickstarter as the long game. I have to secure my position and figure out how to expose myself to an audience that's going to help spotlight what I'm doing or the brands that I have. So I have to go and take a big, huge risk. It's a huge risk. And, but you know, for me, I'm looking at long-term, not the short game. So I look at it as a long-term investment, you know, for this event. So I think everyone has to really just individualize your position and figure out what's good for you. But there's no right or wrong. There's just understanding you should always have a backup for the backup for the backup. You know, first step of any business, diversify. Yeah.
You know, it's funny about Chris, right? Chris had these jokes and all that stuff. And then she throws on her business hat and she's bam. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Who took over your page?
What
right
the hell is this? Page of your palm.
What the hell is this? We can do a crystal. But no, Chris is right, man. You do have to diversify. You can't just be comfortable doing it one way. You have to have different ways of you know, bringing in income.
Yeah, I mean, nothing is secure. You know, events can shut down. You know,
did shut down. Remember?
Yeah, Fauci could go on and say we're back in the pandemic and everything shut down again. And then what do? You don't have the events anymore. You know, so I'm looking at, all right, how do I just at least network and create some sort of database and connections with people so that way the worst case scenario they're just watching to see the progression or whatever it is, or get some insider tips or advice or whatever it is. So I think for me it's just about, you know, expanding my reach when it comes to in a field that I'm looking to get into.
You can come on the show, Chris. Come on the show. I just won't be here when you're here, right? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, damn.
No, but I want to give a big shout out to Jason Lennox. Okay, we had him on the show. This gentleman, get Crystal on the show. You got to start a petition.
Say justice for Juicy. Justice for Crystal.
Oh man, start a petition, dog. Oh, snap chicken. Yeah, what am I thinking? Marty McFly over here? You're going to call me chicken. I'm going to fucking be like, oh no. Come on the show, Chris. Come on the show. We'll send you a link. Actually, as a matter of fact,
the link is in the summary.
Yeah, link. Yo, click on that link and come on in. You know,
you can book yourself on the show.
Let's go. Let's do this. Let's talk some business, Chris. Let's talk some
business. I'll walk away while you whip him, and then I'll come on when you
can walk away. Where's my backup? Because I'm sure Michael wouldn't walk away.
Oh no, because he's gonna be there stabbing you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Where's my backup? Where's my backup?
Yeah.
I'm rolling with the wrong crowd. I'm rolling with the wrong crowd. How I get down with you guys? Is there like an initiation in your gang, Krista and Mike? Can I get down? How do I get down in your gang? Because Sam ain't doing nothing for me over here.
These guys are vicious, man. They just threw JS overboard. Nah, hell no. These guys fight dirty.
Low blows. You want business me, psych me, or normal me? Now let's go with business you.
Yes.
Psych or psych? Love. I loved you.
All I wanted was a hug.
Why did you make me do this to you?
It's your fault.
Savages. Anyway, I wanted to give a shout out to Jason X because what I was going to say was he was putting that groundwork together. When we had him on the show, he talked about he had tons of mailing lists before the pandemic. Yeah. At every show, he'd have people sign up for his mailing list, and he had a whole bunch of names on the mailing list. That mailing list then, once the pandemic hit and there were no more shows, he said, oh, I can now use this to send out information about the crowdfunding campaign that I'm doing. And boom, he merged those two worlds together, and he was very successful crowdfunding because he used all of the tools that he had already gathered even prior to this, because he was kind of, not that he was preparing for it, but he was ready for it when it happened. And that's sort of the things that we have to do as independents is prepare, get ready for all of that. Right. How do you keep up your motivation and energy? I'm assuming you guys have a normal 9-to-5. Yeah, I gotta go to work in a few minutes. Go ahead, Sam. How do you keep up your energy?
Well, because this is, I gave up my 9-to-5 to go after my dream.
I'm a
true brokepreneur. I'm a crazy mofo. It's in my blood.
How do I keep the energy? I just this. I mean, I love doing comics, bro. Like I've always loved doing comics, and that itch never goes away, man. It's bad business. But no, the energy just comes from doing the show, man. From talking to Sam, from talking to the guys, you know, in the business. Big shout out to Dan again, Dan Price. Just from all that stuff, that's the energy, man. That's what it is.
Yeah, for me, it's always going back to the younger me, my dream, so I have to try to leaving comics for 10 years really was crushing for me. So now that I'm back, and then with the pandemic, and with, you know, I thought I was going to retire with the company I was working for. And when they closed shop, I took that opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to go all in. And I gave myself a timeline to try to achieve or get close to getting my dream reality. So my motivation is, you know, that younger me.
Yeah. Chris is still hurt, man. So listen, when Chris, when you come on the show, actually manga versus comics is actually a very good topic to discuss. And you would know a lot about that. But manga is crushing comics.
It is crushing comics. I had that conversation with my wife about that.
It's definitely crushing it. And there are a lot of reasons. We had actually, it's crazy because we had a guest on the show who, you know, unfortunately won't be able to air it. But he was talking about why he thought were some of the things that were crushing, that were doing the crushing of comics.
Yeah, right. Independently. That's all lies, bro. It's all lies.
I wish I was independently wealthy. That would be
amazing. Would not be doing crowdfunding if I was. I'll tell you right now.
I'd still be doing crowdfunding.
I would. I'm a mangaka. So I wanted to debate on the difference between manga, manhwa, and manga. Wow. No.
You said no. We won't be doing that.
I'd have to educate myself on all that stuff.
I got time for research.
No, we're not independently wealthy. It's a big risk. I'm banking on doing something different. So we'll see what happens in the effects of the comic book market. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. It's funny because, you know, Forbidden Volume 1, the first edition is in black and white. And my wife asked me, why did you print it in black and white? I said, well, it's the first edition. When I go color, that one's going to go to the stores. The black and white, I'll sell on crowdfunding and through my website, but at conventions.
but the hardcover color version will be in stores. And I said, well, I said, manga is black and white and it's outperforming comics. And and some of the manga comics in black and white, you know, they got a lot of cross hatching and, you know, all that stuff. I said, but it hasn't impacted its sales at all. As long as it's clean, beautifully rendered black and white, you're good.
Yeah, bro.
And different. Yeah. So,
and the effect of the comic market. Yeah. Yeah. So just to put a bow on Jay's question, and thank you for the question, bro. Yeah, man, that energy and that motivation definitely has to come from you. You gotta want it. You gotta want it.
Yeah.
You gotta want to do this. Nobody can motivate you to do it. You know, you gotta motivate yourself. You know, having fun. This is fun, dude. Like, this is the fun part. I like, after the show, I gotta go do my job, and that's fine. Whatever. That's what I'm gonna pay the bills with. But this is where I have the fun. You know, just talking. You know, smack with Sam, with Crystal, with Mike, with you. Like, all that stuff. That's the fun part. And that's what keeps it happening. You know, I'm looking forward to next Thursday morning. You know. And I'm looking forward to, you know, next week, Wednesday, when I launch the campaign. For it's going to be stressful because, like, yo, man, am I going to make this money? Can I do it? But,
you know, 1 hour, first hour, first hour. I'm telling you, he gets funded the first hour. He's going to do the Wonder Duck dance.
Yeah. Okay. And the effect of the content, the reason is not because of the layout, but the content liberties afforded to us. Yes. I think George is bleeding from his back, and he's like, "This is fun." You guys are the rich; they rich. They use other people's money. Word. The content liberties afforded to us. You, Chris, when you say the liberties afforded to us, you're talking about the liberties afforded to the people who are creating the mangas. Is that what you're talking about? Because I think that there are liberties afforded to us as indies in comics. I think the problem with, not the problem, but I think what happens with indie comics is that, and you spoke about this briefly, Sam, the color, we want to pay for color. You know what I mean? We want to do color. We want to do all of these things. We have to price them at the amount that we're pricing them because we're printing on demand. Manga's printing thousands of books, so they can, you know, 65 cents a book probably to print those books.
Right.
And they're bigger, they're thicker books, right?
Yeah.
So, and if you look at the credits on a lot of those mangas, it's a one-man show. It's one artist. He does the pencils, the inks, and the lettering, all himself.
And if you're doing small print runs, and they say if it's a graphic novel, you're doing small print runs, you're paying $6, $7, $8 a book because you're doing small print runs. But if you're doing large print runs, you'll pay $4, $3 a book. So that's why, for an independent creator who's printing a graphic novel for $8 a book because they only can print 100 units, they got to sell it for $20 because now they got to ship it. They got to give the comic book store their cut, you know, so it's all those things. And if you're paying for the creative team, you got to, you know, raise the money to pay those guys or try to recoup some money that you lost paying these people. So that's why, you know, when, you know, independents get, you know, attacked on the cost, they don't look at, they don't have that global reach or the luxury of being able to have, you know, a 20,000 unit print run.
Yeah. I was reading a book. Actually, my nephew just bought a manga book called Uzumaki, Spiral into Horror by Junji Ito. That book is off the chain, man. It's off the chain. It's like 500 pages. I took a picture of the cover. I'm sure you guys recognize that. But it's like a 600 page book, bro. 600 pages. It was $27 for 600 pages. It's all black and white, you know, but they can afford that. It's hardcover. That's a hardcover book. It's beautiful. A book, 600 pages. You know how much we'd have to charge for a 600 page book if we were doing it here in America, you know what I mean? We couldn't afford it. We couldn't afford to print that out.
Yeah, and the reader doesn't care about the cost. We can market anything without going into too much. We have light novels, mangas, the content is broad. We have graphic horror, erotica, amongst other things.
And I think that's what we're trying to do. That's what indies are trying to do for comics. Yeah. Like, bring all of those different genres and write about whatever we want to write. It's the cost of printing and the cost of
doing business.
It's the cost.
Not only that, it's the labor behind the scenes. So if you're doing it all yourself, you got to format, market, upload, promote, design, you know, the websites, the social media. You're doing all this stuff that you're not getting paid for. That if you worked for a company, you're paying, you're getting a salary, you're getting hourly, you know, you're getting paid for your services. The independents are not, are basically working for free, and then they do a campaign and they raise $2,000-$3,000. They're not making any money from that. It goes right back into the cost of doing business. So it's just a, it's just a cycle.
And you know what? And this is going to sound controversial, but I think that there's a lot of discipline in how much work is done on those books.
Yeah.
Discipline that unfortunately some of us lack here in the States. You know what I mean? We'll start a project and then we'll just, oh, man, this is taking a long time. And we just leave it because life gets in the way, right? That's what happens. And so there isn't that, because other things have to take precedent. And I don't know how that is, you know, in the manga world. I don't know what keeps them so focused. I wish I knew, because that's a nice secret to know. But I just think that we tend to give up too fast, man, on our projects, and that hurts us. That hurts us a lot.
Because I mean, and again, to the point is, your bread and butter is not the comics. That's your passion. Your bread and butter is working for someone else, you know, under different restraints. And then you don't know what kind of mental exhaustion you're coming home with. Then if you have a family, then you have those responsibilities. So you're trying to fit all that in a small window. You know, I mean, before I became a brokerpreneur, I would work. I get up at 5 a.m. You know, I come home at 9 o'clock at night and I'm working till 1 a.m. in my office, trying to promote the podcast, the books, work on a drawer, whatever it is. And I was doing that 7 days a week. You know, now, because I'm, you know, taking a risk, I'm able to get a lot more stuff done with a bigger window. So I'm in my, you know, office, you know, I get up in the morning at 7 to work out, and then I come into the studio and I'm here till midnight every day, just grinding. I have a different opportunity to produce more content and try to finish the things I started. Yeah. Not everybody has that option.
No, it's not. Life gets in the way. And that's what I could tell you, George, but then I would have to erase you. Hey, so listen. So, Chris, we're going to have you on a live show. We're going to start doing live shows just for those, just so you guys know. Is there an app for indie creators where it's all digital content, kind of like a subscription where you're guaranteed a certain amount of original content a month of paying for app? I think Comixology has that option.
Yeah,
Sierra Nova Comics. Big shout out to Greg Moquin and them. They're trying to start something like this. So you know, just check them out. Sierra Nova Comics. They have a lot of indie stuff on their platform. They're trying to do like a Netflix for indies kind of thing, where you can just subscribe to their app, and then you could just, you know, get indie. Webtoons is another one that's like that. You can go to Webtoon and find that kind of stuff, Jay. So there is some stuff out there for that. But just a quick PSA, because I, you know, obviously that, like, we talk about going back to work. We have things like Renta Online, which allows us to auto market, so many indies can self-publish digitally. Plus, we have more manga cafes marketing our projects. Crystal, you got to come on. You got to come on. We got to talk.
Yes.
But what I was going to say was, so for the future, June, July, you know, this summer, what we're going to do is we're gonna step away from doing Kickstarter live shows. And we're going to have more of these kind of shows live, where maybe Crystal can come on and we can talk some, you know, we can talk manga versus comics kind of thing live. And we can have a discussion like this where people can interact and talk more about that kind of stuff. We're going to start doing that for our live shows. We're still going to have Kickstarter shows, but they're going to be pre-recorded. So if you do have a campaign, reach out to us with at least 45 days of lead time so that we can record it and then schedule it to premiere it at a later time, but it won't affect when your campaign is. So that is, your campaign is still going, yeah. your the show will still air. We're going to do that starting in June. So if you go to Calendly and you're booking yourself for any June interviews and you have a Kickstarter, be prepared for that to air maybe in July or maybe later on in June. So don't think that that's going to, you know, be right then and there. If you don't have a campaign, but you still want to come on the show to promote your stuff and talk shop, then sign up and we'll do a live show with you. We're going to start doing that starting in June. So just be mindful of that, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think we want to give everybody an opportunity, but our show was based on the independent creator and your story and your journey. And, you know, we became just inundated with hundreds of Kickstarters, and it doesn't.
We want to support, and we want to support.
Yeah, we want to support everybody, which is why we're still doing it. But it's going to be pre-recorded. But we really want to shine a light on the independent creator, and really, you know, hopefully that our listeners can take things away and lessons away. We don't get to get that information when we're doing campaigns, and Crest the Creator is really about the independent creator more so than the product. And so we're going to shine a light on everything, but right now we really want to learn about you.
Yeah. And I think the way to build a fan base sometimes is not just your product. Your product obviously has to be good, but also when they get to know you as a person. And that's what we want. We want the person behind the project to come on the show and talk to them and maybe build a fan base that way, where they can say, hey, that guy or that girl's journey is interesting. Yeah. Let me see what they're working on. Yeah. Let me support that project.
I can relate to that person.
Yeah. You know, it's more of that.
Yeah.
So that's why we're doing what we're doing. So remember, if you are booking yourself for June shows, remember the live shows are going to be just for the journey. And then the pre-recorded shows will be for the Kickstarters if you have a Kickstarter. So if you know that you have a campaign coming out in July, let us know. Hey, I want to come on the show. My campaign airs, you know, July 8th, you know, that way we know, okay, maybe we'll air that show July 15th or something. Give you like a week before your show. So we can work around that kind of stuff. Just Sam's got it all set up for you guys to just fill it out, but let us know in the comments what you're coming on the show for so that we know. Send us a bio.
It's clear. I just updated Calendly so it tells you exactly.
Hold on a second. Because I know that you go crazy when they don't do this. Send us a bio and a hot image. That's going to grab the audience, because that's going to be your thumbnail when the show comes on. It's important that you send that stuff. It's very important, because then otherwise Sam's got to go searching for something and he's going to pick something that you may say, oh, I didn't like that one. Well, you never send it. So you have to send that info. Go ahead, Sam. What were you saying?
So all the things that are very frustrating is that when you sign up, you don't send the information that we're requiring, right? So then now we have to figure out, or you don't respond to the emails. So you sign up, we try to reach out to you and you don't respond to the emails. And then we send you a link to StreamYard and then we do the show and you never showed up. And then, you know, 3 days later, he's like, oh, I didn't ever check my email, right? So if you're going to use an email, make sure you're checking your email and check your junk folder. And if you're going to sign up for the show, send us a graphic and just information about yourself and a link to your PDF if you want us to understand your product. But that's it. But the instructions are there. Follow that, because I will pull a graphic and I would just take any graphic if you didn't send me anything. So we want to make it as seamless as possible, but please, if whatever email you're using to sign up, make sure that's the one that you're using and that you're going to answer when we send you the information.
Yeah, big time. Tomorrow we have a Catch the Craze episode. Don't forget to check that out. We were supposed to have a gentleman by the name of Sean Fry. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make the show, but the show must go on. So there is a show tomorrow.
Yes.
It'll just be us kind of just doing our thing. Yeah. So check that out tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't done so yet. And thank you so much to everybody who was in the chat, you know, just shooting the ish with us. We really appreciate you guys supporting the channel. Subscribe, comment, share it, you know, share the channel.
Give us a thumbs up if you like this episode. If there's anything you'd like us to cover next week on The Morning Brew, let us know and put it in the comments below. And don't forget, you know, there's a party next week. So join us for the party. You know, my prediction is that Wonder Duck will be funded in the first hour. I want George to dance. So you're going to help make him dance. So, and just remember that if you back Wonder Duck and Disney in my toilet, you will get a free refrigerator magnet from me of Super Duty as a thank you for the physical backers. And if you're a digital backer, you'll get a wallpaper for your screen. If you're a return backer of Duty, you'll still get that as well. So, it's going to be fun. Next week's going to be fun. Join us at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here. And next Tuesday, I'll be live with two guests. George will not be with me. It's George's birthday.
Next my birthday.
Yes. Can George do the booty jam? Oh. No. Wiggle.
Hey, there you go, Sam. There you go. Yo, what's your robe, bro? You over here out exposing your chest. What is this?
Huh?
What's your robe? You're supposed to have a robe on.
I do, but it's hot.
I do.
It's caliente. It's caliente. So we definitely appreciate every single one of you. This is the reason why we do the show. Thank you guys for joining us and embracing this new episode, this new segment of Catch the Craze with The Morning Brew. We do this because of you, and we appreciate every single one of you. So enjoy the rest. I don't know what kind of weather you have in your neck of the woods, but it's actually nice over here. I hear the birds chirping, and you know, and last night I heard the little what do you call those? What are little frogs? What do you call it, the little ones? I heard them in the yard in the grass. Tadpoles. Yeah, they're like, they don't suck. They got hops. Those suckers got hops. Yo, they're like, psh. I'm like, wow. It's like the bionic, whatever it is. So join us next week. Anything from you, George?
No, that's it. Just if you haven't signed up to the campaigns, you know, there's an alien in my toilet, the Adventures of Wonder Duck, sign up to the pre-launch pages. You have less than a week for my campaign before it goes live, and you have till the 31st for Sammy. So let's get him up there as far as signups go. So make sure you do that. The links are in the show notes. And that's all I got. I got to get back to work.
Help me convince these people out there that there's an audience for Designated in My Toilet. I need those signups. But we'll leave you with a little promo from Duty. And again, we appreciate every single one of you. Thank you for joining. I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina.
And we are out.